and you really want, but then it ain't really love, it's lust. You lust for money, come on and say amen. You lust for power, you lust for other people. It's a whole bunch of stuff. It ain't gotta always be sexual, but lust is something that drives you to a point that you'll do anything. You don't care who you hurt, you don't care what you do, you don't care what you say. Preaching here, I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. You don't care about anything else but what you want. But love doesn't act like that. Love is not puffed up. Love denies itself. Love does not think itself above any other. Love bears all things. I wish I had somebody. Love gives all. I wish I had somebody now. And we need to know what love really is. Y'all still with me here? Do I need to just go ahead and close now? He says that, now that's, they said no, not me. He says, beloved, God so loved us, so we ought to love one another. Are you loving each other? Now, if you can treat a person cold and not forgive, y'all hear me? Let me go on a little further. If not only if you treat somebody cold, but if you got cold intentions, you don't have love. Huh? I know they might have did you something, but God didn't say eye for an eye.
Right.
He said, Jesus said, if you read Matthew 5, he taught, when he began to teach the first teaching that Jesus gave, he said, this is the first thing. He said, I know you heard eye for an eye, two for two, but I say you need to love.
Amen.
That's what Jesus said. I said you need to forgive. Amen. Amen. Now, well, let me explain this. Now, forgiving you don't mean I got to be in your face every day. Huh? Because I got sense enough to know that you don't bring out the best in me and I don't bring out the best in you. So let's be the best in our own corners. Y'all with me here? We gotta learn how to just do that instead of, you know, I gotta hold a grudge with you because me and you don't get along. You know, we don't get along, so we don't hang out. It's fine. But when I see you, I can love on you and say, God bless you. I don't mean no ill will towards you. The Bible says this. That, you know, and we
know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Wells Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
From Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. You will find recorded these words. But now they desire a better country. that is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading hearers of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to continue from the message, Searching but Not Settling, part two. Searching but not settling. The text begins, but now. There's obviously something that has changed the focus and the view in this writing that I think is helpful for us, especially for those who may not be familiar with the context. I think it would be helpful just to bring you up to date. We've walked through every verse of this 11th chapter, and in part one we dealt with verse 14 and verse 15, and in part two we're wrapping it up in verse 16. But to back to verse 15 says, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And when you hear this, you've got to wonder still, who and what are they talking about? Well, then when you back to verse 14, it says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. But if that don't happen, and make it clear for you, back up to verse 13. And it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them. And here it is, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, here's this part right here that opens up these next few verses for us. Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. First of all, what was clear was, if you back up to verse 9, it tells you that Abraham sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Now, he was in the land of promise. It was what God promised him. But here is a point that I hope many of us get, that when God gives us something that he promises us, it will be very unfamiliar to us, uncommon to us, and unusual to us, and thereby seem strange to us. So don't think that just because God promised, you'll be immediately familiar with it. You're more familiar with where you've come from and what you've dealt with than what you're going to and what God has promised for you. And so one of the things you're going to recognize is, as these people of faith, everybody from verse 4 with Abel on down for Sarah, all died expecting God to do what he said he was going to do. But because they believed and embraced it as such, they had already begun experiencing the joy of the manifestation yet of that promise even before it was manifested. And so as strangers now, here is what was clear. They were observing, they were partaking of the promised land, but not all of the promises in the land. So they still felt like strangers in their own land. You know, it's a funny feeling when you feel like a stranger in your own house, among your own folk and among other folk like you. But the word stranger meant to be alienated or aliens. It means to be foreigners. It means to be different from. And though God had given them the promised land, they were different from the people in that land of promise. And then, not only were they strangers in the place God promised them, but here's what they made clear. They were also pilgrims. So while it might be strange to us as pilgrims, one, you've got to have had a country you left from. And then two, you've got to be looking for a country to settle in. And so they qualified because they left from a country. And they were looking for a country. But yet the promises specifically and particularly of this country is what they were focusing on. And so thereby, when we hear this and we see this, we begin to understand that these were strangers and pilgrims. The record is, again, for such that say, for they that say such things, declare plainly. And what it simply said is that these are people of faith. People of faith. Faith people. People who talk, walk, live faith. You have a different vocabulary. You have a different understanding of the Word of God when you operate in faith. Not only were they faith people, but they, again, they followed God in such a profound way that this was important for us to understand. My brothers and sisters, if you know God, then you ought to follow him from one good degree to the next, from one level to the next, from one step to the next. It ought to be a continual growing process. And these people, listen, knew how to follow God. And not only that, but they also were progressive people. They moved forward. Why is that important? Because if you're going to move by faith, it won't always be by what you see. It won't always be by what you think or what you feel, but rather by what God said. And then when you get to verse 15, it begins to tell us that as they walked on through this reality, they discovered that they had to put some things out of their mind. Because the Bible says, and truly, if they were mindful, that meant they purposely did not remember some things. And if you're going to progress, move forward, go beyond where you've come from and what you've dealt with, you're going to have to make up your mind, I'm just going to have to forget about some things. So they remembered not. They made up their mind. Paul made it clear, forgetting those things which are behind, good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, you've got to make up your mind. You can't lose no more time thinking about what has been. But not only did they not remember, they did not retrack or retrace where they had come from, what they had gone through, who they had been with. They let all that stuff stay behind them, because doing any of that delays you in getting what God has prepared and promised you. And then you'll notice also again that they did not return. You see, I don't care who you are, if you keep thinking back, if you keep looking back, you will eventually go back. The Bible says a dog returns to his vomit. Now, how nasty is that? You've eaten the food, you've thrown it up, you go away, and then you come back to it? Isn't that nasty? Well, that's how nasty it is when you return back to your old sinful ways. I wish I had a helper in the house. It doesn't seem that nasty when it's us, huh? But listen, and then as it moves forward, there are some things that I think I need to tell you. That's what they chose not to do, not to remember, not to retract or retrace, and not to return. But why did they do, or how could they do this? One, I think I need to tell you, to be helpful to you, they were focused. See, when you're not focused on what you should be doing, where you should be going, when you should be going, you slow the whole process down sometime to a stop
which then gives you time to think, which then causes you to look back, which then causes you to go back. And so what they did was kept their focus. Somebody said, keep your focus. Can I tell you, there's enough stuff going on around you. And there's enough stuff behind you still trying to pull you back from whence you've come, that you've got to keep your forward in order to do and to have what God wants you to have. But not only did they keep their focus, but they went, listen, forward. They went forward. They went forward. They went forward to keep from going backwards. And sometimes it may not be but one step at a time, but it's better to take one small step moving forward than to take any steps going backwards. Listen, they not only were focused and they not only moved forward, but listen, they were faithful. Faithful. They were faithful. They were so faithful because when they recognized to move forward meant to say what God said, to look for what God said, to believe in what God said, and to reach for God, for what God said, all of that had more to do with them than it did with him. So what does that say to us? Many times the blessings, the promises that seem to be delayed by God is delayed by us. Because we've not done our part. We have not reached our goals. We have not stayed focused. We have not continued to move forward. And we have not kept the faith. That's so important. You can start off in faith, but if you don't keep the faith, you're not going to end up in faith. It is a continual process of going from faith to faith to faith to faith. Your faith being exercised, your faith becoming stronger. And so when you begin to look at this, again, they're all looking for the promises that God made to them. Now you move into verse 16. And verse 16 says, very simply, but now they desire a better country. Now look at this, my brothers and sisters. Because when you begin to understand and look at this as clearly as you possibly can, what is most helpful is, again, before you, God always puts or places or gives us insight to what is ahead of us that's better than what we left. So what they had was a foreshadowing of the best. A foreshadowing of the best. What does that mean? You see, your senses, your desires, your inklings, your cravings, your inner desires cannot be raised to new levels until you get a glimpse of something better than you've had before. You don't usually want more till you see more. You look at some stuff and think, I got the best. I got the best. Till you see something better pass by. And it's after seeing that best and know that that best has been promised to you. And listen, some of us settle for less than the best because it's the best we can do. But if you settle for the less of what God has offered you, God never made the promise based on what you could do, but he made it based on what he could do. So you never settle because it's your best. Because his promises are not based upon your best, it's his best. And so the reason he gives you a foreshadowing of his best is so you will set your goals higher. It's so that you'll set your desires higher. so that you'll stop settling for this will do, this will make it, this is enough, I can make it with this. No, he wants you to be so blessed that you can be a blessing. Not simply say I'm blessed. Because real blessed folk bless folk. I'm talking about if you're really blessed. Everything in you propels you to be a blessing because that's how God wired you. And if you got more than enough, you ain't got no problem with sharing. Matter of fact, you're trying to get rid of some of this. Because then if you understand the principles, you know if you get rid of more, it makes room for more. Lord, I wish I was talking to faith folk. Some of us can't get what God's got for us because we're holding on to stuff we can't use. We let it become moth-eaten, rotten out, falling apart. Not because of use, but because of non-use. We can't use it and won't give it to somebody who can. We won't do what we can do with it and won't let somebody who need it have it. And it goes to waste. And we wonder why God hasn't given us more, hasn't given us better. But can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when God foreshadows the best for you, it's not just so you can drool. It's for you to inspire, to have it, to reach it, to attain it. Listen, if he gives it to you to conceive it, it's meant for you to achieve it. His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. God doesn't settle for stuff. And he doesn't want the believer settling for stuff. We don't serve a God who's good enough. We serve a great God. Matter of fact, he's the greatest God there is. Now I'm going to throw out something y'all probably never thought you would have heard me say, but after studying this scripture, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't think I would have said it before today. But if I find a God greater than my God, I'm going to follow him. Now, woo, that sounds sacrilegious. No, it don't. Not if you study scripture. But here's what I do know, that there is none greater than my God. And they that say such things declare plainly that they seek for a country. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were ordered like all of the rest to bow down at the sound of the music and worship the king, They didn't do that because they had a king bigger than that king. Here's what they declared. Oh, king, live forever. But our God is well able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if not, we still won't bow. Because we know if he don't save us, it's because he chose not to, and it wasn't because he couldn't. And so when you got that kind of faith in God and know that that God that you serve has that kind of power, you boldly declare it. You're not ashamed to say, I'm a child of the Most High God. You can't do no more than he allows you to do to me. When you begin to know who you are, the power you possess, the authority you walk in, and it's all because of your God, it changes the game. You change the atmosphere. You change the rules. You, in the authority of God, have the power to speak it right, to make it right, to have it right. So when you begin to look at this word, they foreshadowed the best. God showed them. So now after God shows them a city, a country, greater than the one they came out of, why would they go back? Why would they go back to something inferior to something superior. You're going back to an inferior company and pass country and passing up a superior country. Why would you do that? Why would you pass up the best to go back to good? Why would you do that? See, God raises, he raises your desire as his child. When he shows you better and you aim for it. You might shoot and miss it this time. But look, you aim again. And this time a little higher. And you land a little closer, but you miss. But you keep on aiming. Because you got it in target. You got the target in sight. And you know things ain't going to happen till you hit the target. So there ain't no sense you aiming here and aiming that. For what? Because even if you hit it, you ain't got nothing. So you keep aiming at the best that God has. And I promise you, every time you aim and hit, you if you don't hit it, you at least hit higher and get something better than you had before. He keeps showing and revealing newer and better things, taking you and bringing you higher to the best that he's offering you, and he just lets you get a glimpse of it. Now, here's why I suggest he only gives you a glimpse, because you couldn't handle seeing it all. Have you ever just had a dream of some good stuff, and it was interrupted, and you tried your best to go back and pick up at that dream and catch the rest of it? It wasn't desire to reveal it all to you because you couldn't handle it. So it was the best foreshadowed the best for. But then notice what he said, because it says that is an heavenly. The country they desired was not earthly. It was a heavenly one. The country they desired was a heavenly country. And they knew they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, because what they were looking for wasn't down here. And that's why they put up tents and tabernacles, temporary dwellings, and worship places, because they were on their way somewhere. They were searching, but not settling. And then notice the next part of this verse, which I got excited about, because not only did God foreshadow the best, but I want you to see something else as it relates to God in this part. It says, wherefore God was not ashamed to be called their God. And right there, that tells me the Father was blessed. The Father was blessed. Do you realize that also says to me that God has been and possibly even now is ashamed to be called some of our God? It's in the text. Wherefore, he was not ashamed. God was not ashamed to be called their God. So you mean to tell me God can be ashamed of being called your God? Give me an example. I'm glad you asked. When he tells them before they even get to the promised land that he has a promised land flowing with milk and honey. Cities they didn't build, walled, secured city, beautiful homes, great vineyards, all of these things already prepared for them in the country he had given to them. They doubted his word. So he had to send spies to verify his claim. when he sends the spies to verify his claim, they come back with a split.